Our epistle for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the first epistle of Blessed Peter the Apostle, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise, blessing. For unto this you were called that you might inherit a blessing. For he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, thou shalt not kill, and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother Raca shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says thou fool shall be liable to the fires of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we have a continuation of the theme that we were meditating upon last Sunday. Now, what was it that we were talking about last Sunday? We were talking about God first, always first. Not a fancy saying, not a slogan that easily comes off our lips, but a reality that we make a part of our life. God first, always first. Today's liturgy seems to underline how that takes place. It takes place by choice. Choice is an individual's decision. No one can make it for you but you. Christ tells us that if we do these things, we will have peace. If we do these things, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. If we do these things, we shall be guilty of the fire of hell, Gehenna. If we do these other things, then we shall be blessed. We shall have peace. The eyes of the Lord will be upon us. And we shall have no fear, or we shall have no real reason for fear. Because as St. Peter puts it, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Choice. Zealous for what is good. Zeal means it eats us up. It's a part of our life. It's a part of our being. It's a part of who we are. Not an idea that we think about and we think we're somehow good because, oh, we go to confession once a week or we come to communion or even we act a little pious. No, it's something deeper than this. Christ himself warns us in today's gospel, unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. What was the scribe and Pharisees' justice? It was all exterior. It was the swing of the pendulum from where it was to where our Lord found it when he arrived. Before, the chosen people, they didn't pay attention to the good Lord's words, and so they collaborated with the pagan. They adopted their customs, and that's why we read in Scripture in the Old Testament, they were given over to idolatry, worship of idols, pagan worship. That was one extreme. And we knew they were punished. We have the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity. They were taken out of their land, and they got the message, and they came back. They were given their land back. And so they said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to live according to the law of God. But then some took the pendulum all the way to the extreme in the other direction. As our Lord said, they strained the gnat, they swallowed the camel. And the very heart of the law, they violated. What is the heart of the law? The heart of the law is charity. Charity is a choice. Charity is another word for love. Love can't be forced, otherwise it's not love. It's a choice. We must choose. If you love me, our Lord says, keep my commandments. A choice. Not how we translate it, or how we like to look at it, or how we like to try to explain things away. We live in a day and age where the saying goes, I have this tendency, or I have that tendency, and therefore I'm excused. And no, you're not. The fallen human nature that we have, our Lord gave us the remedy. Not gave, gives us the remedy. In order to counteract that fallen human nature and to be holy and to be good. And that remedy is him. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross, following Christ. Not following self. Not making an excuse. Well, that's just the way I am. No, it's not. That's the way you have chosen to be. You made that choice. When God created you, he gave you an intellect and a free will, an intellect to know truth and a free will to follow it, to abide in it, and to be one with it. He who is the way, the truth, and the life. We are called to be instruments of peace, to be charitable souls. Charity is something that goes outside of ourselves. First, the creature to the Creator. The child to the Father. And we make the effort to love the Heavenly Father with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and with all our strength. If we're not doing it, if we're not making that effort, if we haven't made that choice, then how can we say we're doing all that we ought to do? Human beings are pretty funny. They think for some reason they can make their own rules. And that's not what Christ put us here on earth to do. God put us here on earth. The idea of us was so good that he wants us to be forever with him in heaven. But lifetime is a time of choice. We must choose. Not living of the world as we live in the world, but living for heaven as citizens of heaven. Not rendering evil for abuse, but contrariwise, blessing. For unto this you were called, that's our vocation, calling, that you might inherit a blessing. You want to be blessed? I'm reminded of a story that I heard of this group that was taking a tour of that art gallery, the Louvre. I think that's how you say it. And there was a picture in there. And the picture was titled Checkmate. And on one side of the picture was the devil, and the other side was a man. And the man sat there, hands in his head, or his head in his hands, and distraught and despairing. And the devil sitting with that smirk on his face. And as the tour went by, the tour guide explained, well, this is a soul who played a game with the devil and lost. And among that group of tourists, there was one that was a chess master. He found it interesting, the painting. And the group continued to go on, but he didn't. He sat there and studied the painting, found it intriguing. And when the tour guide found out a little later on that he wasn't a part of the group, came back and asked him, did you want to join the group? He goes, yes, but this picture is very interesting. Something has to change. Either somebody's going to have to change the painting or the title needs to be changed. I said, well, what do you mean? And the chess master says, it's not checkmate. There's still a move to be made. And of course, being a chess master, he would know. And he says, and it's the man's move. The point of the story is, we oftentimes find ourselves that we think because we've made mistakes or we haven't paid attention. And we think, well, that's that. We forget that the good Lord has given us a way. If you have a breath of life left within you, you have a way to counter any fault, feeling, or sin that you've ever committed. Our Lord has demonstrated this in his parables. For example, the parable of the prodigal son. We have to make a choice just to turn back. If you're worried about eternity and about past sins and faults, don't. Do something about them. Remember what it says in Scripture. Charity covers a multitude of sins. Be a charitable person. Decide to be a charitable person. Not just to your friends, but to your enemies. Live the gospel. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that persecute and calumniate you. And do it for Christ's sake. It's a choice that you have to make. Seek after peace and pursue it. Be an instrument of peace. What does St. Francis say about this? In his prayer, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me plant or sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. A choice. And if you make the right choice, you will have peace in time. You will have the Lord in time. And when time is up, you will have heaven. Let's make the choice, the right choice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.